This is a great scripture for the dedication of a church because it says that basically when God finally brings everything to completion at the end, there won't be a church. There won't be a church. You can walk all around the city of God. It's got that sparkling river of life flowing through it. It's got jeweled walls. It's got gates with pearls. But there is no temple. There's no church. For some of you, that may be good news because the idea of singing hymns is not your idea of what eternity should be all about. But still, it's interesting to think about why the omission? Why no church? Well, apparently, at the end of time, the presence and the peace and the power of God will be so plain, so obvious for all to see, that you won't have to have a place to come to remember and to think about it. There won't be any need for light because the glory of God will shine brightly enough. There won't be any need for electricity because the light of Christ will illuminate the dark corners of that city, will illuminate the dark corners of every life. It's all symbolic language, of course. Nobody knows really what life in God's very presence will be like. But no matter what the details, there won't be a need for church. Because we'll be experiencing the love of God in real time, all the time. So the church won't matter. Not then. But until that day when the city of God descends from heaven, until the day when God says, it's time for no more tears to fall, death no more, until the day when the truth of God is as plain as the nose on all of our faces, the church matters. Until then, the church matters very much. The church is the place we come to remember that the living God is out there in the world, that the living God is here when we gather, that the living God is among us and within us and between us. The church is where we come to remember that every place can be a holy place if we're paying attention, that every moment can be a sacred moment if our eyes are open, that every person is a child of God, if only we see her that way, that every task is a divine calling if we let love be our guide. The church matters. And Wildwood Presbyterian Church matters. I remember the day Kathy and I first visited the red brick church on Sears Boulevard in 1991. To tell the truth, it was the fourth church we visited that week as we were looking for a congregation to call our own. It was the smallest, and I wasn't sure that we could make the numbers work, but I remember walking through the church and thinking, you know, I think this place has potential. And I remember Kathy saying how good it was to interview with a committee where, you know, you're interviewing and trying to impress, but we interviewed with that committee and we just felt like we could be ourselves. Well, the church took a deep breath and offered more money than it had, sort of like we just took a deep breath and spent more money than we have, but that's another story. And we came to the little church in the Wildwood. And I look back, and I remember what I was thinking. I said, this place could have potential. I had no idea. But God did. God knew that this was a good place, that this was a place for grace. And now here we all are. Wildwood Presbyterian Church mattered 50 years ago to those 66 men and women who met in the Pink Beach House on the shores of Gages Lake, and then came to a barn, a real working barn, the gift of the Rule family, and cleaned out that barn and saw not just a barn there, but saw a sanctuary, saw a place to worship God. This church was born in a barn. How right is that? Just like our Lord, this church was born in a barn. Wildwood Presbyterian Church matters to kids. They run up and down the aisles. They make a lot of noise. They kick the pews in front of them. Aren't you glad we no longer have that little space between the seat and the back of the church? That's not an accident. But our kids, they know they belong here. They belong to this place. They belong to this family. They belong to God. And our kids know it. Wildwood Presbyterian Church matters to people who are hurting. If you look across the congregation on any given Sunday, who knows what burdens are being carried, the woes that are being felt, the sorrows that are being borne. Sometimes that burden is painfully clear to everyone assembled. Sometimes that woe is voiced just to one or two or a small group. Sometimes that sorrow is kept inside where no one else can see. But we gather to pray for those who on that day perhaps cannot pray for themselves. We gather to sing for those who perhaps on that day have no song. And we carry each other along as the living God carries us all. And Kathy and I have had that experience of being carried along by you and carried along by our God in a difficult and dark day. Now, this happened before my time, but it's a Wildwood story, and so that means it's my story and all of yours too. So here it is. Sunday morning worship service when Laura Stanley, a young woman with a beautiful voice, was singing Amazing Grace. And she dedicated the song to her father, Jerry, who had suffered a terrible fall at the workplace. And as Laura was singing, she looked out and saw her father in the congregation, and suddenly words failed her. Her voice, always strong, could not sing. And then Linda Nelson stepped forth from the back of the church, singing Amazing Grace. And soon the whole congregation joined in, wrapping those notes around Laura and her family in a musical embrace that was itself grace. Wildwood Presbyterian Church matters to people who are looking for something more in life. They may have put that name, God's name, on that something they're looking for. They may not have. But here they can find a place that's real, people who welcome questions and doubts, uncertainties and fears, people who know that life is tough and that faith is a place, faith is something we can turn to. Maybe ragged, it may be rough, but it's real here at Wildwood Presbyterian Church. This church matters to the community. We've been a pad site for almost since the beginning in 1989. We took 3 years off in there, but that means for 15 years, on Tuesday nights, this congregation has opened its doors to men and women and children who do not have a home. They've been giving a hot meal and a warm place to sleep for 15 years. I'll never forget the day, the Monday morning, when Lake County official walked in the door of the church and said, "You can't be a pad site tomorrow. You cannot open. One of the neighbors has complained, said you weren't zoned to be a homeless shelter, and you're not. So you have to close. You cannot be open tomorrow night." You know, it's like December. So we had a meeting that night of the mission committee, and I told them what we'd been told. What do we do? What do we do? Well, Dave Murphy, who was the pad's head then, as he is now, he said, "Well, we're going to open. These people don't have anywhere else to go." And everyone on the committee said, "Well, sure, of course we're going to open." I mean, we had civil disobedience in a Presbyterian church. They didn't call it that. They called it being faithful to God, which indeed is what it was. These people had nowhere else to go. We'd promised to open our doors. We were going to open our doors. "Well, what if they come and shut us down? What if the authorities show up?" They said, we'll take those consequences when they arise. I said, if anyone had to go to jail, I said, please let it be me, because for ministers, going to jail is resume material. But before I had a chance to pad my resume, the county quickly realized the next morning that this was actually a good thing that churches were willing to serve as homeless shelters. And they quickly realized that that was actually part of what a church does. And so, crisis averted, the doors opened then, and they've opened ever since, every Tuesday night. Wildwood Presbyterian Church matters to the world. Since Colville Hart was pastor back in the late 50s and early 60s, we've had a connection to the mission scene, the international scene. And just 2 years ago, our own Megan Gregory went to El Salvador as a Peace Corps volunteer. And soon after, she told us that the school in this village of El Amatón was badly in need of additional classrooms. And was there any way our church could do something about it? Well, it was summertime, you know, attendance is usually down a little, the energy, you know, we're sort of, you know, Wildwood's a resort town, we're sort of being resorty in the summer. But the session said, this is something we have to do. We're gonna build this school, $6,000, we'll just announce it every Sunday all summer long and into the fall if we need to until we have the money. So we committed to Megan that we would do it. And oh, we of little faith. 3 weeks later, we had all the money we needed and more. And that fall, six of us went down to El Salvador to actually help build the classrooms. And you can see a brick in the library from El Salvador to remember that occasion. Wildwood Presbyterian Church matters. The church, not just our church, but the church matters because God matters. The love God has for us, the love God calls forth from us, makes a difference. It makes a difference in us. It makes a difference in the people around us. It makes a difference in our community. It makes a difference in our world. More than 20 years ago, one of the great movies hit the movie screen, Witness. Some of you might remember it. Harrison Ford plays John Book, who is a Philadelphia police detective with the job of protecting Samuel Lapp, a young Amish boy who is the witness to a murder in a train station. When the boy identifies another police officer as the murderer, things get intense, and the corrupt officers come after John Book and the boy to silence them. And when Book is injured in the fight, they return the boy and John Book and his mother, the boy's mother, they return to the Pennsylvania Dutch country to hide on the Amish farm, which is the boy's home. The Philadelphia detective tries to adapt to Amish life. He wears the jeans and the suspenders and the straw hat. He tries, but it's challenging. He keeps his handgun, and in one scene, young Samuel watches him clean it. And a father-like affection has developed between the two of them. It's not surprising when the rogue cops discover John Book's hiding place and they come after him at the farm. And there's a cat and mouse game that follows with the three men with guns stalking Book who can't find a way to get to his weapon. And as the situation grows grim, Book tells young Samuel to run across the field to safety at another farm and stay there. But you can see in Samuel's face, he does not want to leave his friend. And you, the viewer, understand that Samuel knows full well where to find John Book's gun. So off Samuel goes, but he does not obey his friend. Instead, he runs to the bell. He starts ringing the farm bell. And he does not stop ringing it. And the movie continues, and the dangerous game between John Book and his assailants continues, and that bell just goes on ringing in the background, goes on tolling. Well, John Book manages to dispatch three of the rogue cops, but at the end, the last officer, his own captain, has John Book at gunpoint. And it looks like it's all over, except from across the fields, the Amish men have come. The farmers have heard the bell ring, the sign for distress, and they have come from all directions to make a circle now around the one man with a gun holding another man hostage. John Book is empowered by their presence. They have no weapons but themselves and the quiet truth that they live by. The officer wilts, gives up his gun. And then you realize that the movie title Witness does not only refer to this young boy's role in a criminal trial. No, the witness is the presence of people of conviction. People of conviction who live by what they believe. And by so living, they change their world. We've been working on building a church for quite a while now, and that's taken a lot of our best energy and best wisdom, as it should. That was our task in that time. While we were doing it, we did our best to continue being the church. But now, with this holy place to worship, with that wonderful space out there to work and to play and to fellowship and to serve and to use for mission, we have opportunities ahead to be a church that we're only now beginning to discover. Thank God for this new season, this new time in our lives and in the life of this church, to make a witness. Pray with me. Lord, for all that has been, for all that is, for all that shall be, we thank you. And let all God's people say, Amen. Amen.